It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Blake Whitson. Blake is the vice president of the Oregon State Elks Association. Hey there, Blake. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. So the Elks, good. What are the Elks? I think everybody's probably heard of the Elks, but what are the Elks?
And you're right. A lot of people have heard of the Elks. What a lot of people don't realize is that we're still around. The Elks are a charitable fraternal organization, and we do a lot of things in communities all over Oregon. We've actually got about 50 lodges and 24,000 members across the state. And we do a variety of community and charity projects. We work with homeless veterans. We have various youth programs, including our Hoop Shoot. We do community events such as open houses, military stand downs, all kinds of things for people in our communities.
So I think you're right. You kind of mentioned that people don't know you're still around, because I remember when I was younger, my uncles and my, I think my dad was an Elk. And so it kind of seems like maybe those types of organizations have gone away, but obviously not.
Yeah, we're still around doing quite a bit of stuff. And I think some of that is we went through kind of a period where it was we did all these good works for our communities, but didn't really talk about it with anybody. And we hear all the time whenever some of us are out in the community, whether it be wearing an Elk shirt or at an Elks event, we hear it all the time from people of, oh, we didn't even realize the Elks were still a thing.
Wow. That's because you're a big thing. You guys do so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How many lodges are in the state of Oregon?
So we have 50 lodges in the state of Oregon. And actually, you know, you mentioned all the stuff we do. Oregon last year was fifth in the nation again for our charitable giving.
Wow.
We do millions of dollars every year combined in donations, charitable hours, and things that we do in communities. I believe the number last year was around 15 million.
Whoa, that's a lot. I want to talk about some of those charitable things you guys do, but I also want to hear about the history. Tell me some of the history of the Elks.
So the history of the Elks, we were founded a little over 150 years ago, actually out of New York. And what started the organization, at the time, New York had very strict blue laws. You could not serve alcohol on Sundays. And there was a group of actors who decided they wanted to, after their Sunday matinees, have a beverage. So they couldn't go to a local tavern, so they formed their own private club. They, at the time, called it the Jolly Corks. And that was kind of the origins of the organization. And then when one of the founding members fell ill and passed away, the group decided to support his widow and family, kind of creating a more benevolent and charitable purpose for the organization. And the organization was renamed the Elks, proceeded to grow from New York, spread across the country with lodges all over. We have now just under 2,000 lodges across the country.
2,000?
Yep.
Wow. That's a lot. Tell me about your journey into Elkton.
So I was one of the ones who am kind of a legacy member. I have multiple members of my family who had been Elks, my father, my uncles, and I was pretty much handed an application when I turned 21 and was told, you know, sign here. And I did. And this was back in Illinois where I lived at the time. And at that point, the lodge that I joined was about 10 minutes away from the campus where I was going to college. And my thought process at that time was, hey, this is about 10 minutes away. They've got good prices on food and beverage. You know, this is going to be perfect. And then I got involved with the lodge and started out volunteering with dinners and charitable projects and kind of went from there and progressed through being a member, being an officer in the organization. Then I moved to Oregon and continued on as an officer in the Elks, serving the Salem Lodge as the Exalted Ruler in 1819, 1920, and then proceeding on to serve now our state association and lodges all over Oregon.
Oh, cool. Elks Lodges are kind of big community centers. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's a great way to look at our lodges as community centers. A lot of communities center around the Elks. We hold blood drives. We hold screening events for health screenings for seniors. We allow community groups and civic organizations to meet and use our facilities for things. We do our charitable drives around Christmas. You know, that's a big thing with the Elks is we work with communities around Christmas and do food boxes, toy drives serving various populations. A big thing in Oregon right now is homelessness. And we have a lot of members of the homeless population who are veterans. And the Elks across our state work with various community partners to help provide items for veterans who are homeless and moving into housing. Because when a veteran moves into a house, you know, these community organizations that are funded through the VA, they can cover rent, they can cover utilities, they can even get a mattress. But there's a lot of other things that someone needs when they move into a home. So the Elks help provide that through what we call our welcome home boxes. So when someone moves in and they get this box from us, it's going to have the bed sheets, the pots and pans, the dishes, a can opener, so that when someone gets, you know, the box of food from some of these other community organizations, one of the veterans told us, we get the food boxes, but we can't open the canned goods. So we see to it now that we put can openers in those boxes. So the Elks are really focused on supporting our communities as a whole, as well as those who are most in need in our communities.
And the Elks have always been a big supporter of veterans, right?
Absolutely. And this goes back, we actually have an orientation video on our YouTube channel for Elks USA. And in that, they talk about how the Elks helped establish some of the first field hospitals in World War I. And they talk about that we established two of them. One of those two hospitals was actually founded out of Elks in Oregon. At the time, it was OSU and the medical school, what is now OHSU. It was a partnership between the Elks and that medical school that helped establish one of those first field hospitals in Europe during World War I. So we've always had a commitment to serving our veterans and our armed forces.
That's so awesome. What an admirable thing to be doing. Absolutely. We're talking today with Blake Whitson, Vice President of the Oregon State Elks Association. So why are you called the Elks?
So when they decided to come up with a name, they actually were looking at a few different names. And, you know, everyone's heard of the Flintstones with water buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually came within a couple of votes of being the buffalo back when they did this vote. And they were looking at all these different animals and different symbols that could be for the order. And what it ended up being is they went with the Elks.
Ah, uh-huh. Because it's a kind of like a big, strong symbol, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like, well, I'm sure that's why the eagles are called the eagles and the moose are called the moose.
Yep, they went with the symbolism of the elk, and the head of the lodge is known as the Exalted Ruler, and there's pictures of the stags and the elks called the Exalted Ruler out there, so I think that kind of played into it.
Tell me about the Exalted Ruler. What does that mean?
So an Exalted Ruler is the title of who is the head of a local lodge. It's the equivalent to president. So it's the president of the local lodge. And that is the top officer position in any lodge, or nationally, our national president is known as the Grand Exalted Ruler. So that is an individual who's been elected by the membership to lead the local lodge, help drive our community programs, and support our charitable endeavors.
Kind of like you said, the Flintstones, the Grand Poobah on the Flintstones.
Exactly.
Right? Such a great memory. What would you say is the perception of fraternal organizations like the Elks?
So there's a perception out there of fraternal organizations that were primarily for older individuals or that were basically just bingo halls. And that couldn't be further from the truth. the one thing that we commonly hear when we talk to members about the Elks is it's a place that is open to anybody in the community. We have members of all different ages, all different backgrounds, all different beliefs. And we all come together in these places, in these Elks lodges in our communities, because we have a common vision, and that is our charitable works for our communities, our social aspects for our members. We do have various social activities for our members. We have the club side of our operation in addition to our charitable side. And it's a place where members can come together, despite whatever differences they may have outside of our doors, and just have a good time with fellow members in a safe environment.
In the Portland metro area, how many lodges are there?
Okay, you're going to make me do math now. Portland metro is, because we just divided up the districts, so I got to remember which ones are considered metro. I'd say we have about 5 lodges in the metro area. We've got, of course, Milwaukee, Portland. We've also got lodges in Beaverton, Hillsboro, Forest Grove, Gateway, Gresham, Oregon City, all up there in that area.
I think the one I've been by the most is probably the Milwaukee, Portland one. That's a big place.
That is. Milwaukee Portland is a huge lodge. They're actually growing. They've got over 1,400 members now.
Wow.
So that lodge is doing very, very well.
When I walk in the doors of an Elks Lodge, what do I experience?
When you walk into an Elks Lodge, you're going to be greeted, first of all, usually by either a lodge officer or other member who's going to greet you, welcome you. They're going to ask if you're a member. And if not, you're going to be asked if you're a guest of a member. And they're going to show you around the facility. You're going to be welcomed as a friend. One thing I personally enjoy as a member, I travel a lot for my job. So I've been to Elks Lodges all over the country. And anytime I have walked into an Elks Lodge, it's like I'm the long lost relative.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, there's people there that want to talk to you. They want to meet you. We've got folks that's what they do year round in RVs. They travel around and visit various Elks Lodges because they enjoy the environment and the chance to be around people that, you know, it's instantly you walk in somewhere and you've got friends, you've got family that you can talk to, that, you know, if you have something go wrong, they're going to be there for you. And that's a great feeling, especially when traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you attracting younger people to join the Elks?
So we've been doing a lot of different promotions and outreach to try to recruit younger members. We're currently doing an advertising campaign called Discover Elks, which is a streaming video campaign as well as social media campaign. And we're highlighting the diversity of our membership, for one thing. We're showing who our members really are. And we're talking about what attracts individuals to be members of the Elks, whether it be our social activities, our charitable projects, and more. So we're really rethinking how we're promoting our organization, going from a word of mouth members talking to people they may know to actively promoting ourselves in different and new ways.
Very cool. You guys do so much charity work, as we've talked about. I want to hear more about the Elks Youth Eye Service.
So the Elks Youth Eye Service is actually the major project of the Oregon State Elks Association. Each state association in the Elks has a major project, and Eyes happens to be ours. So the origins of the Elks Youth Eye Service actually go back to 1949. There was, at the time, Dr. Kenneth Swan, he was one of the founding physicians of the KCI Institute, or what would become the KCI Institute at OHSU. And at the time, there was a bunch of babies being born premature who were suffering from vision issues, going blind, basically. And he had a theory on what may be causing that. And he wanted to get an oximeter to conduct his research to determine, were these premature babies being given oxygen in a way that was causing blindness? And one of the families affected was actually a member of the Oregon City Elks Lodge, who his family had a set of twins who were born premature. Dr. Swan treated these twins. And they went to the Elks and asked, would you be willing to purchase this $2,000 piece of equipment, which in 1949, $2,000 was not a small amount of money,
right,
to conduct this research. And the Elks did that. We funded that piece of equipment. And that started a partnership with the KCI Institute and with OHSU that has continued. So our major project provides funding to work with juvenile eye diseases and research. We have the Oregon Elks Children's Eye Clinic named after us at OHSU. There's a clinic now in Bend. And all sorts of other research is being funded through our EYES program to help address visual issues amongst children.
And it's one of the largest eye clinics in the country, isn't it?
So the Oregon Elks Children's Eye Clinic is a 60,000 square foot facility. It is actually one of the only freestanding children's eye clinics in the world that's up there. I don't know if you've seen it at the OHSU campus. It's a stunning building. It's absolutely a beautiful building.
That's amazing. What great work.
And we also have with that, we do a couple other things with our EYES program. One is we have an eye safety poster contest, which is open to students in Oregon. So they can do a poster based on the theme of our eye clinic for the year and our EYES program. And so kids design these posters and submit them, and they can actually win prizes for that. And we also do a preschool vision screening program. So they go out and do screenings with kids ages 3 to 5 to try to detect issues early. And the Elks are supporters with that. We've got volunteers that are trained that go out with that program and help do vision screenings across the state.
Wow. You guys do just amazing stuff. We're talking today with...
It's great to be a member. It really is.
We're talking with Blake Whitson, Vice President of the Oregon State Elks Association. How are the Elks funded? You guys do so much work. It's not free, right? So how are you funded?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways that we're funded. One is we have member dues. So each lodge assesses a certain amount of dues, and each lodge sets their own. So it varies based on whichever lodge you're a member at. And in addition to member dues that help fund our activities, we've got members who donate. If we have a project, we will ask for donations from members. And our members are some very generous individuals. And they will step up and help contribute to various causes and things that we have going. For example, right now, we've got several lodges that have banded together in response to the fires in Maui. And between different lodges, we're sending about $10,000 to relief efforts for residents in Maui, all funded out of member generosity. And then we also have what is referred to as the Elks National Foundation. The Elks National Foundation is funded through various donations from members, bequests from members who have passed that have left estates and other amounts to the foundation. And right now, that foundation is worth about $800 million. And every year, the foundation makes grants available to local lodges through what is called the Community Investment Program. So we have lodges that can apply for these grants that run anywhere from $2,000 up to the largest one being $10,000 that lodges can use for local projects to have an impact in communities. So they can use those for veterans projects, youth activities, literacy programs, serving the homeless, serving veterans, a whole wide variety of things that lodges can take this money from the Elks National Foundation and use to invest in the best way possible in their community. Now, most lodges usually spend beyond what the grant is, so the members will help raise money or they will kick in additional money through various fundraisers to help with these projects. But that money really does go a long way to helping us do what we do.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. That's again, I keep saying you guys are amazing, but you really are amazing. Tell me about you offer scholarships to students, is that right?
Yeah, that is one of our biggest programs. That is also funded through the Elks National Foundation with our scholarship program. And we have a couple different variations. We have a Legacy Award scholarship, which is open to children and grandchildren of members. We have an Emergency Education Grant, and we also have our Most Valuable Student scholarship. Our MVS scholarship is actually open right now for high school seniors to apply. And it's a multi-step process. They apply to their local lodge. And several of our local lodges also have scholarship funds. So they give out money at the local level. For example, the Salem Lodge has a $10,000 budget each year for scholarships in addition to whatever is funded beyond the lodge. So the top winners from the lodge level advance to the district. District top students advance to the state. And then ultimately on to our national contest where the top students in the country can get up to $50,000 for scholarship. And everything from the state above is funded out of the Elks National Foundation.
But again, more good stuff from the Elks. One thing you guys do is really special stuff during the holidays. Tell me about that.
So during the holidays is one of the times when the Elks really stand up in communities. We do quite a bit with food boxes. A lot of our lodges do food box programs to help support communities. And we partner with various organizations, whether that be veterans organizations. I know we've had folks partner with the Oregon School for the Deaf. We've partnered with school districts and all sorts of different organizations to find those individuals who are in need. And we also have a lot of lodges who help distribute Christmas presents. We've got one lodge that each year works with the Oregon School for the Deaf, the National Guard, Family Assistance Program, as well as veterans groups. And they go shopping for the kids of veterans at the holidays. And last year, they bought Christmas for 187 kids. Wow. Presents for the families, as in addition to the food boxes.
That's yay. As if you guys don't do enough. Are there any major projects coming up for the Elks in Oregon?
So the major things we're gearing up for right now, I mentioned our youth projects. One of the big things of that is our hoop shoot program, which local lodges are going to start having their hoop shoots. This is open to kids 8 to 13. It's a free throw contest that actually started right here in Oregon out of the Corvallis Lodge many years ago. And now it's in one of our biggest national programs for youth. And students compete through this contest, advancing, again, local lodge all the way up to potential national winners for this contest. So local lodges will be starting to hold that. And then we're going to be into a lot of our Christmas programs. We already have lodges gearing up for that now with fundraising efforts and preparing for their various Christmas projects. So the Elks National Foundation for Oregon, between our hoop shoot program, funding for our major project, our veterans information, is $405,000 for those projects and an additional $300,000 for community investment grants to local lodges. So that's over $700,000 that has been invested back in Oregon via the Elks National Foundation.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, we actually, and I mentioned it's funded by contributions from members. We actually get back almost a 3-to-1 ratio, what we send in versus what we get back from the National Foundation.
You guys have such big hearts. How do you, what would you say to somebody to get them to join the Elks?
I think that would depend on what the person's looking for, because that's one of the things about the Elks is we offer so much, whether it be someone who wants to join for our charitable aspects, or even if it's someone who wants to join just for the social aspects. You know, like I mentioned, I joined for the social aspects and ended up getting involved in the charity side of our organization and the administrative side of our organization. You know, if it's someone who's interested in the charity side of our organization, I would tell them about the projects we do and the impacts we have on individuals. And the biggest one is when you have a chance to talk to someone whose life has been impacted by the projects we do. I mentioned our welcome home boxes for veterans, and one of our lodges, we had they held a dinner for the community partners that they worked with on the move-in boxes, on the welcome home kits, and they invited some of the veterans who had received those boxes. And a veteran stood up and told us the story of how, thanks to that box, for the first time ever, he was able to cook dinner for his children in his own apartment and serve it on real plates, real silverware. And he'd never been able to do that before. And it was because of our organization. You know, when you hear those stories and you hear that impact of what we do, that's what I would tell someone as to why we do what we do and why we're members. On the social side of it, it's like I mentioned, it's having a place that is safe, that is comfortable, where regardless of beliefs or opinions, you can go into and you've got friends who are like family that you can have a good time with, you can have dinner with, and enjoy your social time as well, while still, even as just a social member, contributing to what allows us to impact our communities.
So the big question is, how do I become an Elk? How does that happen?
So to become an Elk, we actually right now have a membership campaign going on called Discover Elks, because we're inviting individuals and communities to discover the Elks for the first time, or even those who maybe have heard of us to rediscover who we are and what we do. So if you go to oregon.discoverelks.org, that is our membership portal website right now. You can actually fill out a form there that will go to our membership team. And we will start an application for you and get that sent to your local lodge, who will then be in touch and help guide you through the membership process.
Excellent. One last question for you. What is the one thing that you want people to know about the Elks?
The one thing I want people to know about the Elks is what we do for communities and the impact we have. Over $15 million in charitable giving last year in Oregon alone, and that's just what we reported. We do so much more than even what we account for and report.
Great stuff. This has been fun. Thanks, Blake.
Thank you.
We've been talking today with Blake Whitson, Vice President of the Oregon State Elks Association. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.